Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting.
Than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience.
With Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall is back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
In 1919, he hit 29 home runs and was sold to the New York Yankees.
A three-run home run for Bucky Dent. The Yankees now lead by a score of 3-2. Bill Lee is now going over to a couple of the Yankees, and there they go again.
Swan hits it to deep left. That might send the Yankees to the World Series.
Varitek and A-Rod going at it. Roberts is going. Posada's throw. Roberts, safe.
And what can I say? Just dip my heart and call the Yankees my daddy.
Welcome to Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. Brian Shackman here, John Senecal, our good friend Matt Saroy is usually on the producer side, but he's a huge Yankee fan, so we thought it would be good to have his perspective. I mean, I'm sort of done with this Aaron Judge 62 talk, so you guys have to tell me why. I mean, listen, it happened, it's great. He got 62. Like, let's move
on. Let's get on if Bogaerts is going to opt out, right?
No, I mean, I guess...
Let's move along.
I guess I got...
Nothing to see here.
I feel like, listen, I actually recognize it as the home run leader, although I don't know what to do with the Maguire and Sosa seasons and that one season by Bonds that he gets 73. But he's the MVP. He had one of the best seasons in history, and he made history. It just toward the end, it just dragged on.
You just said he's the MVP?
Yeah, he'll win it.
Oh my God, that's a whole other conversation.
But I don't think he's,
I can't believe we got to mark that one. I thought that was going to be a whole other debate with you.
No,
Brian.
I don't think he's the best player in baseball.
But that's the whole other debate,
right?
Is that the award? Should the award be called that? But let's get back to Aaron Judge, though.
Okay.
All right. I think.
Lecture me.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Matt. Right. I think what he did was pretty spectacular, given the fact that the noose was getting kind of tight. It was getting real tight.
100%. It was getting down to the wire there, and I thought that there's a real possibility that it wasn't going to get done.
That guy grooved him one. He's like, put me on your Christmas list.
I don't know.
I mean,
you're like at the Dave Portnoy school.
No. I mean,
unbiased person on the
By the way, I have grown to like a Dave Portnoy take here and there, but what I would say is, he hit the ball out of the park. I'm just kidding on that one. But
that hit, though, right? For a moment, I almost didn't think it was going to go out because the outfielder got back there and did the kind of like the little slap on the, and right. Like right when he hit it, I was like, it's going out. And then I was like, got up and was high. It was really high, you know? And I'm like, oh, maybe it's not going to go out. And then like, you know.
But in all seriousness, the question I really have is how do we frame this in historical perspective? Because the guy who caught the ball, they say he was offered $2 million. If I was that guy and someone offered you $2 million, I'd take it now because I think that ball is not worth a tenth of that.
Really?
I don't. I don't think that someday that ball will sell for $3, $4, or $5 million. I do not. So I don't think there's any appreciative value. So if you can get it. So how do you.
Is that given the fact that the person that supposedly was at $2 million they paid for Maguire's home run?
$3 million.
$3 million.
Now that's worthless.
But that was still called steroid emission, right?
Correct.
So that's basically worthless. But you go on the fact that Judge wouldn't be a steroid guy, and that
no one will break it. But the thing is, that's my point. Where does it fall?
No, I don't think anyone's going to break that. Look at how hard that is, and if he did it clean, just look at the variation in the numbers, right?
But
there.
It's still not the record according to the books. So unless that other one's off the books.
That's never going to happen.
No,
that's never going to happen. This is going to be one of those baseball debates until they put all of them in the Hall of Fame and label them somehow.
Well, then that makes this ball worth even less.
I think it makes it even more, honestly, because that they said that a 60-second homer would be worth something, and then if he hit another one or the last one, that one would be worth even more. And
right.
Because this is the only one, it could be worth. You know, 2.5 to 3.
Yeah, it's the breaker and the record.
But I guess my point is that it broke the American League record, it broke Roger Maris, but it doesn't break the Major League record. So I don't think it, unless you take those records off the books, I don't think it matters as much.
Yeah, well, I mean, all along everybody's been talking about it just being the American League record because a lot of people just don't want to keep treading in the waters. I'm just tired of the conversation.
Right, but I just think he needs to hit 74.
Well, maybe he can come back to the Yankees and do that.
That's, I mean, if he does that, then I'm good. And then this ball will be worth even less.
What I think that's pretty amazing about what Judge did, though, is think about this. I was reading this the other day. The amount of pitchers that he faced compared to what Maris faced and right. what Ruth faced. Like, Judge faced like 250 different pitchers. Maris was like 110, and Ruth was like 60-something, 65. Right? Now, you can say that there's advanced metrics and all that now, but when you're facing a player 67 times, right? And you, it's like Little League, right? Yeah. Like you know what that guy's got in his back pocket, regardless of the metrics. You got a feel for that guy, right? You have a feel for that guy. So I feel like it's easier for you to get the one up. Now, it might be easier for the pitcher too, but I almost feel like the batter's got the little bit of upper hand a lot of times, anyways.
But by facing the same pitcher multiple times, right. It's good for the hitter. So yeah. This makes it harder
for
Judge.
That's what I think. You know,
the scouting report is there. I mean, they must have had scouting reports back then too, and knowing alone, when you face that guy 6, 7, 8 times, you know.
Or you're facing him like 3 times over 4 days.
Yeah.
You know, right. The same guy, and his arm's dragging. Like, so then you get into the whole live ball, dead ball era, the old, the new, and, you know, the modern era, the old era.
I do think it's really an interesting point that I hadn't considered too much or heard about, that if you're getting the same guy in the 7th inning as opposed to a fresh arm throwing 100, I mean, that does make a difference over time.
And we haven't even got to the walks part yet. I mean, back in the day, like, look at how many times Roger Maris walked. He had Mickey Mantle batting behind him that year. Like, he didn't walk at all. Nobody wanted to pitch to a switching Mantle sitting behind you. And look who Judge had hitting behind him.
Stanton, yeah.
Well, yeah, part of the season, right? He had a hodgepodge of crap, basically, from the All-Star break on, batting behind him.
So I did this on the show, my regular show on WTIC AM. I was fascinated by the, you know, somebody said, you know, Ruth did it in X amount of games, so on and so forth. If Ruth had more games, he would have had more
games,
home.
Right.
But so I looked at Ruth's season in 27 when he hit 60. He had 151 games. And to me, like, it's not about at-bats, because then you take out the walks. It's about plate appearances, right? So Ruth had 691 plate appearances. And this year, Judge had 157 games, right? So 6 more games, but had 696 plate appearances. So he only had 5 more plate appearances. And then if you compare to Maris, who had 161 games, who played more than all of them, he had 698 plate appearances. And then if you go back to Bonds in 01, he had 153 games when he hit 73 home runs, and he had only 664 plate appearances.
And that's plate appearances, so that includes walks.
Correct.
Wow.
Yeah, Bonds was either a home run or a walk.
Well, I remember that season clear as a bell. It was like literally he had one pitch, if he was lucky, a game to hit, and he hit it out.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
But looking back, what struck me is that Bonds didn't have any other seasons over 50 home runs.
No. No. So, I mean, that right alone just shows you how dirty it was.
Yeah, it's like Brady Anderson. I mean, it's terrible.
Brady Anderson. Can you believe that guy went on to be the health coach for the Orioles?
I don't even know what he is. He was.
He was like the health guru for the Orioles.
Was ever an oxymoron?
Yeah.
Right?
He was like the guy in the Tour de France who was like down 17 minutes the day before and then made up all 17 minutes.
He's passing Lance going up the hill. Lance's like, wait a minute, I thought I was ahead of him.
How could somebody be doping more than me? This
oh
is impossible.
God. Don't worry, you'll find out. It's the burgers.
Hey, he's John Senecal. I'm Brian Chapman. Matt Sirois here with us as well. Okay, so let's put a ribbon on that one. Let's talk about the playoffs. I thought we thought it'd be fun to just let's make our picks for the wildcard round. And I think that there's some people that are saying that this could end up being the most enjoyable playoffs ever because of the expansion. And let's face it, in my opinion, because the Guardians won the division, outside of maybe the Rays, I think all these teams are good.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're all really good baseball teams.
You made an interesting point, right? You said outside of the Rays, right? So you're not marking the Rays in the same category as the other three teams.
I think the Guardians and the Rays are the two weakest
teams.
Which
is interesting because me, as a Yankee fan, I think the Rays is the last team I want to play in that division coming out of there.
Because?
It's something about that damn team. I don't know what it is. It's
a thorn in the side of the
It is. I don't know what it is.
So it's not rooted in logic?
No. It's just, you know, there's been history, right? It's like the new Red Sox history, you know, that kind of stuff. I won't get into that. But I just feel like it's just something about that team that scares me.
They make you nervous?
Yeah. You know, but I don't think they're good enough to beat Cleveland. So I like the fact that hopefully we'll face Cleveland. I think we have a better shot, which is crazy I said that because Cleveland is a very good team.
But Cleveland's one of those things where your perception is perennially good, but they never good enough.
Never good enough, exactly.
Yeah.
But the Rays scare me. The Rays, I don't know about. What do you think, Matt?
I totally agree. I mean, playing them 19 times a year too, you just know them better, and it's scary.
What makes them scary is that they are truly, as a culture down there, unafraid,
yeah,
right?
And the Yankees have beat both of them in the series for the year. The Yankees were like 11-8 against the Rays, and I think 5-1 against the Indians. So, but I mean, how much stock do you put in that?
Wait, so you're picking the Guardians?
I think the Guardians will beat the Rays.
I disagree. I'm gonna take the Rays, unfortunately.
He'd be sweating his ass off the next round.
Yeah. I'll go with the Guardians because I like Francona. And I don't like the Rays. And even though I think the Rays, they are dangerous, but I'm going to go with that.
I honestly think the Guardians are going to just take 2 out of 3 right out the bat and just take them.
All right, Phillies and the Cardinals. My best friend is a huge Cardinals fan. My uncle idolized Stan Musial, and they are such a good baseball team. But I don't know. There's something I'm so glad the Phillies fired Joe Girardi. Okay, that just made me happy. And so that team, and I think, you know, Harper's fun. I really... There's something about the Phillies I like, so I'm gonna take Philly for no reason other than I'm just sort of sick of the Cardinals, and it'd be nice to see the Phillies go.
I think the Cardinals. I mean, they're obviously riding the wave. They're riding the Pujols wave. They're riding, you know, the everyone's leaving wave.
Molina, yeah,
yeah. The whole farewell tours. I don't think they have the pitching to beat the Phillies. I think the Phillies got a very good 1-2 punch with Wheeler and Nola. I mean, that's as good as you're gonna get. Especially in the National League, you know, I would take them on my team going 1-2 in a series. I think the Phillies will beat.
By the way, Nola helped me win fantasy. You know, I had a wire-to-wire win in our
what
fantasy
What was the final
league?
On that? I didn't look. It looked like it was going to be close.
Yeah, but no, I pulled away late.
So you are the 2022 fantasy
nice.
Champion.
With almost no I had the least amount of transactions in the league. And I mean, I just drafted. My son helped me draft.
Yeah, and I remember like his first text to me after the draft was like, I don't know about this team. What do you think? And I was like, you might need some more pitching. And I don't think you did anything.
I don't think you did really anything.
You just let it roll.
That's true. Who are you picking in the
I'm going to look either really stupid or really smart with you guys.
You're going against the grain.
I think the Cardinals are with Arenado and Goldschmidt. Those guys are just
they're good.
Monsters. Yeah, I said I don't think they have the pitching, but you know, you speak.
I mean, those guys are
bringing that. Yeah, the hitting is unreal.
Two of my favorite players too. I mean, Arenado is so fun. I mean,
I love Arenado.
I just think he's really good. So you're taking the Cardinals.
It's like a sweet story too. So with Yachty and Pujols both leaving, I think they at least got out.
Arenado and Goldschmidt are two of the guys that go about their business. Yeah. Well, you know how I love that.
Yep, they go about their business. Pack a lunch. I think the next two series are actually the most interesting series. I think the Mariners against the Blue Jays. I won't go first since I've already gone first. I'll let you go first.
You go
Matt.
First.
Yeah.
I would love to see the Mariners win.
Does that mean you're taking them?
I don't think that they're going to win.
So then you're picking who?
I'm picking the Blue Jays. Okay. I think the Blue Jays just have better pitching with Manoah and better hitting.
See, I both love and hate the Blue Jays. Like, I just, they the way they handled, like, I think it was Pivetta the other night who came in tight on, I believe it was Vlad or somebody, and like 2 pitches later he hit him.
Vlad's
he took
like
him
the biggest overreactor.
No, but here's the thing, he went in tight on Bichette, and then Bichette hit it out. And then Guerrero Jr. later hit it. Like they're a little too cocky for me. Like there's something about them, and I think they're all great players, but there's something about the cockiness of those guys that I don't like. So I'm just on pure storyline. I'm picking the Mariners.
Yeah, I think it'd be a great storyline. The Mariners. I don't know if I'm totally sold on the Mariners pitching with Ray.
They're not as good a team.
I think as far as that series, I think the Blue Jays will come out on top based on the exact same reasons you guys talked about, the hitting. And their pitching is very good with Manoah, Berrios, and Gausman. I don't think it'll be that order. I think Manoah will start, and then it'll be Gausman.
I think in a wild card, that first game is the most important game in that series.
But the good thing about that is I feel like if the Blue Jays can sneak through there, I feel like they can knock out the Astros. I think they got a pretty good shot at beating the Astros. I really do.
Who does? The Blue Jays?
The Blue Jays. Yeah, really? I think they got a really good shot. I think they match up well against them. I think, obviously, the Astros pitching has been lights out, like insane all year. But I do think the Blue Jays can match up and knock the Astros out.
And this last one is amazing. What was the statistic you gave about how many days in the season the Mets were in first place?
Oh my God, it was like every day.
The Mets were 175 days in first place, and the Braves were 8 days in first place.
All but 8.
It's incredible.
Crazy.
Nuts.
Yeah. And I think it's going to...
The same thing happened, was it last year or the year? Yeah, I think it was last year too.
Yeah.
I'm going to let you pick this. I'll lay it out. DeGrom and Scherzer, I think, are the best 1-2 punch in the playoffs. But maybe they're a little past their prime, or Scherzer is. I'm going to let you go first.
On paper, I think the Mets roll, right? But I'm not sold that DeGrom and Scherzer are 100% healthy. I really am not sold. And there's been all these whispers about jerking up the rotation and moving DeGrom to a game three if they need him and just skipping them all together. I don't know.
I mean, not pitching him in game two.
Yeah, holding him and starting Scherzer. But I'm not even convinced that Scherzer's totally healthy because these guys have both come off an injury, right? Yeah. And DeGrom's got something with his blister or something.
So you're taking the Padres?
I think the Padres are going to shock them. I really do. I think the Padres can beat them. I think that's the one underdog I think that I'm going to pick. I'm going to pick them and pick the Padres.
I hate to say it, but I think you're right because I love Max Scherzer. I love Jacob DeGrom. You're right. That is the first best.
I mean, look what the Atlanta just did with him.
Yeah, but at the same time, Yu Darvish is still a really good pitcher. He's pitching game one, and I think
he has had an excellent
season.
Here's the deal.
I think San Diego is going to be too much.
I like the Mets, and I like what Steve Cohen has done. They won 101 games. I think that the mental part of the way they ended the season is going to be their death knell. I don't think they're going to win because I just think the karma is just gone. And I feel like the Padres. I mean, this whole Tatis Jr. thing like bothers me. Like the way he's handled himself as a pro just bothers me so much. But he's not there,
right? So he's not a distraction.
Yeah,
they've moved on as of now. And I think Soto. I mean, listen, Soto's got World Series experience. He's got playoff experience, and he's young, and he is Soto. So I mean, hopefully, he steps up, and we'll see. It's going to be interesting. I do feel like that's the one upset I'm going to pick.
I'll tell you one thing though about the Mets. If they get bounced in the first round, what scares me is that Steve Cohen will go on a spending spree.
How can he spend more?
Aaron.
That scares me. It scares me as a
Yankee
fan because I think if they get bounced out of the first round, he's going to open up his checkbook like never before.
What better way? We've talked about this. Like, what better way to stick it to the other team?
If you think of what they lack, I mean, Alonso has no protection. I mean, Lindor's a good hitter, but he doesn't hit for power. There's nobody else who really hits for power on that team.
Yeah.
So that would make a lot of sense. They're already the highest paid team in baseball.
I mean, they don't care.
Steve Cohen does not
care. That's another bridge to cross. We'll cross that
another
once
day.
See. Another day. We'll get into this. Will Aaron stay or will he leave?
All right. Hopefully, will the series be wrapped up if we do late next week? I think maybe we'd be.
Well,
able
the next the Yankees would play on Tuesday. That would be the first game of the next series. Would be
really
Tuesday.
That quickly?
Yeah, yeah. So the Yankees have 5 days now off. This first round goes until. I don't think it goes till Monday. I think it goes right till Sunday, right?
Sunday night.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, straight
through.
That's
really, they don't even get a travel day?
They get the one team gets the travel day. They bounce. So there's 4 days, 3 games.
But you got Friday, Saturday.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Today's Thursday.
Yeah, the games are tomorrow, Friday.
Is it tomorrow?
Yeah.
Oh, well, then maybe it is Monday then.
Listen, this and podcast is supposed to be evergreen. Every time you do that.
It will be a Tuesday start and a Wednesday start.
Okay. We're going to end on that.
One of these days... He will forget. He will remember to stop talking about these days.
Correct. He's John Senecal. I'm Brian Chacon. Matt Sirois. This is Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports.
Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply. The Recap Show is an inside look for fans into the world of global soccer, women's sports, and all things gal culture.
From the inside perspective of two World Cup champions and Olympians.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.